This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This guy's like a billionaire that instead of becoming a billionaire with the gold of man or this earth, but you're a man of wealth of where it counts. Because Jesus said, store up where moth and rust doth not corrupt. And he also says, why do you work? This has been the thing that's been going through my life. Why do you work for that which you cannot keep? And we all know the story of that missionary. I met his wife Elizabeth before she passed.
Elliot.
And what did he say? He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose.
Right. Yeah.
He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep anyway to gain what he cannot lose. And he was spearheaded by the natives down there.
Arca Indians in Guatemala, was it?
And then his wife goes down and wins his murderer to the Lord. And then the group of men said, when we killed these missionaries, we saw angelic beings. Yes, above them. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep, can gain what he cannot lose. I mean, I just will say this, that I remember a couple of years ago, I gave a little something to help somebody, and this lady had a tear in her eye, and I went back to my car alone, and I had a tear in my eye, and it was like the Lord spoke to me and said, give now, because where you're going, they don't need your money. If somebody's listening to this right now, can you imagine flying, being a billionaire? And we all know billionaires, and especially in this town, you're flying up and you go, oh my word, I was keeping those numbers in this account that means nothing now. It's all turned to dust. I could have fed those people. I could have helped these people. I could have done this. And so, folks, where we're going, nobody's going to need your gold or money or your fame, your fortune, any of it. It's all rubbish. And so Jesus said, why do you work for that which you can
not keep.
So I just wanted to let you know that I was thinking of you that way. I was thinking, man who's rich in the Lord.
Oh, that's what I encourage you. That's very powerful. Thank
you. Oh, no. Sorry. Just talking what's going on in my heart. But where were we in the story, your story? You two became friends.
Yes.
In seminary.
Yes.
Immediately locked in, something connected.
He introduced me to the Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving.
Oh, you came to your house back home?
That was very, very interesting.
Why? Tell me.
Oh, yeah. You know, the food.
Yeah, do you eat turkey back there or no?
Oh, yeah. We have turkey. No, back in my country?
Yeah.
No, I have never tasted turkey meat before.
What did you think? What did you think?
I was mesmerized.
Mesmerized because of the abundance?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, he talks about wealth.
Yeah.
I know what poverty means.
Yeah. You were brought up in one room or two rooms?
One.
Was it a thatched roof?
Sometimes I would sleep with my father and putting on as a blanket my mother's one piece of cloth.
Yeah.
That would be my blanket and trying to shoo off the mosquitoes because there was no net.
When I went to Haiti, I was told to bring lots of candy in the luggage for the children. I never saw such poverty, poverty in all my life. And my friend was with me. We're walking down the beach. There's little four huts, thatch huts, half the size of this room we're in right now.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a little room.
That's the kind of life.
And so this lady who's Haiti, she points to my friend's hat. She knows, she must know, figure out where missionaries are Christians. She points to my friend's straw hat. So my friend, she's the mother of nine children, the one who her and her husband and children brought me down there to Haiti. Anyway, so they invited me. So she takes off the straw hat and gives it to her. Then she wanted maybe her sweater. I don't know what she wanted, but she's giving all these things to her she wants, you know. And so then she looks at me. Now, I came with the candy in the package, but I also brought myself one sheet. And for some reason, I thought maybe I'd lie on the beach and I would lay on this sheet. And she points at my sheet. And I said, no, you're not getting my sheet. So then she invites me, Vinny, Vinny, which means come into this little shack, the stat shack. And all she has is sugar cane leaves tied together. That's the mat on the floor for sleeping.
Yep.
She has no sheets, no blankets, no pillow, no nothing. She has one keepsake. on the ocean, up came a floating Macy's bag. It's a famous department store in America. Mm-hmm. And she hung that on the wall like a
picture.
Yeah, like a keepsake. Mm-hmm. And I looked down at that, and I took off that sheet. Mm-hmm. And I said, here, you can have my sheet. And it was such a privilege to give her that sheet. Mm-hmm. I mean, so people don't realize the poverty, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I met a man who had something eating away at his skin. Mm-hmm. And a lady there said, oh, well, in America, he would go to a, mm-hmm. what do you call these places you stop in, you know.
Walk-in?
Yeah, walk-in clinic.
Clinic.
And he would be healed. He said, he'll probably be dead here in 6 months because they don't have the medicine.
Oh, no.
And, you know, so anyway, so that was my experience with what you lived forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as you and I know and need to make people, what people okay. should know, mm-hmm. many people in your country will never know what it's like to walk into a nice restaurant or a home like mm-hmm. a John's family's mm-hmm. home for Thanksgiving mm-hmm. in an entire lifetime, mm-hmm. be it 60, 80 years, 100
That's
years.
True. It's very true.
Because I know I only went to Africa for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, I was shocked at how big the roads looked. Mm-hmm. And I walked into a grocery store. Mm-hmm. Do you like to walk into the grocery store?
About it. And reading the Punjabi on the motorbike and going back.
Yep. And the buses.
And the buses.
So you go to Thanksgiving dinner there.
Yeah, I went to Thanksgiving dinner.
What do you think?
I was treated like a royalty.
Yes.
Really. I was given a room with two beds and a tablet.
Which one do I sleep in?
Bathroom, TV set, all by myself. You know what I did? I slept in one bed for the first 6 hours and then moved to the next one.
Just because you
Just
could?
Yeah. It was fantastic. And I said, oh, so when did they talk about riches?
Mm.
This is what riches means.
People don't know. Mm. And you were just the middle class, upper middle class, as I was. But people don't know, even if you're washing dishes at a little restaurant in the USA, you are living better than the king
much,
or queen of
better.
England ever yeah. lived up to 100 years ago.
So America taught me two things.
Yes. America taught you two things.
Which have stuck with my mind.
Okay.
The first one is that I was poor, really poor.
That you never knew how poor you were.
I didn't know. I didn't know that about poverty.
No.
Because I just lived my life every day.
Yeah.
Then I learned that there is a difference, a huge difference between having much and having nothing. So I knew that I was poor back then. After seeing that he had a car, his father had a car, this man's wife had a car, his mother had a car, four cars in one. in one home.
You've never seen such a
abundance. I've never seen such a lifestyle.
And there's a whole neighborhood of the same thing.
Fancy cars.
Yeah.
His mother had a BMW.
Mercedes, yeah.
Yeah.
His father had...
he had an Audi, I'm pretty sure.
He has an Audi.
Yeah.
He had a Saab. Oh, my gosh. And they didn't have a car. He would come at my apartment to pick me up to go to school. And it was such a luxury. I have never known how to drive a car.
So what became, I'm all about food, so what became your what became your favorite food in the USA?
Yeah. I think I would say pizza.
Who?
Pizza.
Pizza.
Oh, pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Pizza.
Yeah. Okay. The last meal I had from my wife back in Tanzania last week, she made pizza. For the first time in her life, she tried to make pizza. And I had pizza.
That's great. Now, you said there were two things you learned. One was
that
you were poor.
The second one is knowing that I'm black.
Black.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, prejudice.
No, it was not prejudice, but I was told that it was articulated to me that I was black.
Because you were around so many white people.
I didn't take it very hard, because it was so pronounced.
In what way, though? Well, I don't understand.
You know, the African-American, we talk about it being black, and so the emphasis of being black, it's like being black is something which has to be a label.
Yeah.
Back home, we had Asians.
Asians?
We had Arabs and we had Europeans, but we didn't talk about this.
There wasn't a prejudice.
No, it wasn't.
No.
So here I was. What is in this whole thing about races and all that kind of thing? So.
Well, it's because they were, I guess, because blacks came here initially as slaves, and so, you know, and they were oppressed and not taught to read and stuff, and so, and probably not, you know, whatever, you know, unclean places to live and stuff, and so, arrogance said we're better. People sort of thought they were better.
So those things.
That, so you found out you were. You realized you were poor, yeah, and you found out you were black.
Yeah, but I was meant to be loved in spite of that.
So you were what?
I was meant to be loved.
Made to be loved.
Yeah, in spite of that, John's family took me in, and when he moved to Florida, I was able to live with the parents for 2 years, which is something very special.
You know, if I wish there was a billionaire listening to this now, because I got to tell you, I do wish I had $1 billion for this. I'd like to, of course, maybe it's not a good thing. Maybe I'd be wrong and ruin lives, but I would like to go to Tanzania.
Welcome.
Fly my private jet over, put 10 people on it, and bring them here and serve them. I want to serve them on white linen tables, the most glorious buffet they've ever had. It's like even you. Now I'm thinking, I wonder why you're here, if I could take you out to dinner or somewhere. I want to bless you. I want to spoil you, you know. But you are here, and you are blessed. Mm-hmm. How many people, though, in your country will never know? The only thing is, let me ask you this, though. Mm-hmm. So you go back, eventually you're going to go back here.
Next week.
It's got to be hard. It's kind of like, I have a friend who's a friend with somebody very, very famous. Mm-hmm. Well, he's not a friend, he's an acquaintance, a producer in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And he was with this guy, you'd all know his name, and he was, was part of the Backstreet Boys, one of the singer that came out. Makes $200 million a year just on his clothing line, whatever.
$200
but anyway,
million?
He flies in third class. That's the coach. Okay. Mm-hmm. He flies from Nashville up to Orlando. Mm-hmm. Then they go around, and they're flying around in the man's private jet, and they're in limousine cars, and all the cameras are flashing and everything. And then at the end of the weekend, he has to go back to work in Nashville. So he gets on and goes from first class private jet to this little that's being coached. And you've got to, it's got to be, you know, it's got to be, like, depressing. How was it for you when you would go back and find, wow, it accentuated your lack, right? How did you handle that? Were you depressed, or were you smitten with the wealth of America? Did it deceive you for a while and allure you?
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for the continuation of this interview. I'm your host, Rhett Palmer, and this is a new day.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Rhett Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
The Church of the Holy Spirit in Palm City reminds you that America has a covenant with God, established over 400 years ago at the founding of our great nation, to send the gospel into the world. Please pray for a robust revival in our nation, that we may honor this covenant in God's perfect time.
Hey, Ma, you know that WCNO is having their prayer and share fundraiser soon, right?
Yeah, of course I do. I figured they'd be firing that up pretty soon. So I called.